7 and 8 says this, "In the scroll of the book it is written of me, I delight to do your will, O my God." Good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, and we're going to talk today about decision making and the will of God. Hey, what do you do as a Christian who wants to do the will of God? What do you do when you're confronted with one of life's major decisions? The biggest one for a Christian, who does God want me to marry? Where does God want me to go to college? What does he want me to pursue as a degree? What does he want me to pursue as a career? Where am I supposed to live? What job am I supposed to take? When am I supposed to retire? What about having children? Are we supposed to have no children? 1, 2, 3, 4. When do we know when to draw the line? And all those kinds of things. Those are big, big decisions, decision-making, and the will of God. Now, to help in this discussion is my good friend, Dr. Chris Schroeder. Dr. Chris Schroeder is the teaching pastor at First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and he's also our counselor. He wears a lot of hats here. And Chris, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me, Jeff.
All right, decision-making and the will of God. Chris, I want to kind of set the stage with Gideon, because I think a lot of people look at the story of Gideon, and they say, okay, well, maybe that's the way I'm supposed to make a decision. So God told Gideon, hey, I'm going to raise you up and use you to deliver Israel from the Midianites. And this is what it says, Judges 6, beginning in verse 36. Then Gideon said to God, if you will deliver Israel through me, as you have spoken, behold, I will put a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. If there is dew on the fleece only, and it is dry on all the ground, then I will know that you will deliver Israel through me as you have spoken. Show me a sign, Lord. And it was so. When he arose early the next morning and squeezed the fleece, he drained the dew from the fleece, a bowl full of water. Then Gideon said to God, do not let your anger burn against me, that I may speak once more. Please let me make a test once more with the fleece. Let it now be dry only on the fleece, and let there be dew on all the ground. And God did so that night, for it was dry only on the fleece, and dew was on all the ground. Okay, so you hear people, Chris, they'll say, well, I need to put out a fleece. I'm not sure if I'm supposed to do this. I have a decision between A and B, so I'll put out a fleece, because that's what Gideon did, and God answered. And so the question is, well, is that descriptive or prescriptive?
Yeah, it's a great question. I do hear that all the time. I hear people asking if they, you know, or having the idea to put out a fleece, that idea of putting out a fleece. I want to be really careful about testing God. I want to be really careful about putting God to a test. You know, I do want to be moving in a direction. I see a lot of people get just paralyzed because they're analyzing something so much that's paralysis by analysis. Mm-hmm. And so I do believe in moving towards something and letting God move you.
Right.
But then at the same time, I want to be very careful about putting a fleece out, you know, mm-hmm. for God. I do hear people say that all the time, like they are going to test God. And I want to be really careful with that.
Yeah, it's one of those things that I think it's, we would say, well, that's what Gideon did.
Uh-huh.
That's not what God's saying we're supposed to do.
Exactly.
God was gracious to Gideon to answer him. But Gideon's basically saying, Lord, if you jump through this hoop, then I'll know
exactly.
It's you. And God did. And then it's, but Lord, if you jump through this second hoop, then I'll really know
right.
It's you.
Right.
And where do you draw the line? Now, Gideon didn't have a third hoop. But he didn't need a second hoop. He didn't need a first hoop.
Yeah, that's right.
The Lord had said, this is what I want you to do.
Mm-hmm.
So Gideon's really showing a lack of faith and, you know, a very, very weak faith. But God was gracious to him. And we don't want to presume upon God's graciousness.
Yeah, really, honestly, people do get paralyzed. I mean, I know I've been there too. We get paralyzed with decisions, and we want so bad, as Christians, as believers, we want so bad to be within God's will
uh-huh.
that we get so stuck on all kinds of decisions because we don't want to be outside of God's will. But truly, God just wants our heart. You know, I tell people all the time that God wants our heart. It's really not as much about whether you do A or B. It's about your heart being for God. You know, in Psalm 37:4, he gives you the desires of your heart. So you make sure that your heart lines up with his heart.
Right.
And I used to, when I was younger, I used to be just paralyzed with decisions because I so bad wanted to be within his will. Mm-hmm. And I would just analyze every single decision. But now I don't do that as much. I more just go after his heart and make sure that my heart is soft and ready to hear from him.
Right. And I think that, you know, if we're willing to do whatever he wants us to do, a great principle in scripture, John 7:17, Jesus said, if any man is willing to do his will, he shall know of the teaching whether it is of God. And that's not talking about the will of God per se, but it's a principle that says if you're willing to do what God wants you to do, he's going to show you what he wants you to do. God's not playing the shell game with his will. You know, we've seen that before. You put a pea underneath those three coconut shells. Yeah. Now figure out what you're supposed to do.
No.
I think some people think that the will of God is like that, that God is purposely hiding it.
Super narrow, then it's really hard to find.
I know, how will you ever know if you're doing it? And it's like, you know, that kind of thinking I've shared in sermons before and with people in counseling. Why would a loving father treat you that way? We don't treat our children that way.
Right.
You know, hey, Dad, what should I do? I have this dilemma. Well, figure it out on your own. I know what you should do, but I'm not going to tell you. Mm-hmm. Well, he's going to help you. Now, he may not just tell you, okay, this is what you do, now go away. Mm-hmm. But he'll guide you into, okay, let's look at this and which one would be better and that kind of thing.
Sometimes he makes it super clear. I mean, sometimes he makes it so clear that if you don't do it, you'd be disobedient. But other times, I don't think there's an exact, you have to do this one specific thing.
Right. Although, okay, so we know that major decisions can really alter the course, the whole trajectory of our lives.
Yes.
So I'm getting out of college. I have a job offer from this company, Company X in Cincinnati or Company Y in Dallas. Mm-hmm. That's going to make a big difference where I go because my relationships, my church life, and if I'm single, you know, the person I probably meet and marry, I mean, all that, and then that shifts to that part of the country. So those are big, big decisions, and we need to make sure that we're going in the direction God wants us to go.
Well, I tell people all the time, it's not what decision you make, but it's how you make the decision. So if you're making the decision based on greed, based on selfishness, just your own pleasure, just where you're going to make more money, you know, then that's a heart issue.
Right.
So it's not necessarily what decision you make, but how you make the decision.
Right. I think money is a huge one. Dennis Swanberg, tongue in cheek, always says, God is everywhere, go with the money.
Yeah.
you know, obviously he doesn't believe that. But, you know, that's a terrible way to make a decision just based on money. Obviously, we need money to live, and so money is a factor. But if you're willing to go anywhere for the money, then money's your God because it has to be, God, what do you want me to do? Not this job pays, you know, $80,000, this other job pays $70,000. The job that pays $70,000 might be the best place for you.
Well, it may be the best place for you at that time. Maybe if you're younger, you make some decisions that are just gonna build your character, they're gonna build your skill set, and in the long run, it will pay off. You know, money will come. You know, money might you know, follow the decisions that you make early on. But sometimes we jump on it so quick. You know, we want to get to the success so quickly instead of paying the price and making decisions that would grow us in the long run.
I still remember, Chris, an illustration I heard from an Adrian Rogers sermon. He was talking about a pastor. He said, what would you think of a pastor who would leave his church to go to another church and the sole reason he was leaving was money? And people would say, well, I don't want a pastor like that that's just in it for the money. And then he turned the tables and he said, well, how's that any different from what you're doing?
Right, right.
He said, it took just as much of the blood of Jesus to purchase that pastor's soul as it did to purchase your soul.
Right.
He's just called to preach, but you're in your position because God wants you there. And
pastor's not the only calling. Other careers are a calling also that you're being obedient to God.
Right. So decision-making and the will of God, that is our topic for today. And now there is a verse, you know, you talk about the Gideon putting out the fleece, and that's not a good way to do it because that's testing the Lord. But here is a good verse, and I've prayed this many, many times, Psalm 86, verse 17, where the psalmist says, show me a sign for good that those who hate me may see it and be ashamed, because you, O Lord, have helped me and comforted me. I think it's fine to say, God, I'm not 100% sure what you want me to do here, so would you show me? And Lord, show me a sign for good here, and help me to because I want to do your will. Give me some kind of an indication that if I move in this direction, that's the direction for me. Or if I'm moving in that direction and it's not, that you would let me know, hey, I don't want you to do that.
Yeah, because he's a relational God, and so he does want to guide our steps. He's not a distant God that we can't touch.
Right.
And so I think that's a good prayer, because he will show us. You know, if we ask for him, he will reveal himself to us. And especially as we make decisions, that's a great opportunity for us to draw closer to him. I know in times of my life when I've had to make big decisions, those are the times where I felt God's presence the most. And so I think it's a good thing to ask for him to reveal himself to us, show us what he wants us to do.
Now, I know, Chris, some people can get not frustrated, but just don't understand why when we pray and we want to do God's will, that he doesn't just immediately show us. And I've always kind of fallen back on this. The number one thing for God is not answering prayer. It's for us to draw near to him.
Yeah, that's
good. God could answer prayer just like that if he wanted to.
Yep.
But if he did that, our time with him would be short, because we wouldn't be... we would want the answer, not time with him. And he wants time with us. And so I think a lot of times the Lord delays in some of those answers, because he's like, I want you to marinate in my presence. It's not like if you pray for another hour, then I'll answer you. It's I just want to be with you.
Right.
And we tend to, well, God, I want to be with you, but I really want the answer.
Well, it's like that vending machine God. You know, we just want to put in the money and get our item. And so, yeah, he wants us. He wants our hearts. And as we're in his presence, our character is developed and our hearts are softened, and we're able then to make better decisions and be people that he wants us to be.
Right. Well, that Psalm 86 that says, show me a sign for good. Before that, it says, but as for me, the nearness of God is my good.
That's right.
And so that's what God wants. He wants us to be near to him, and in his presence is fullness of joy, and in his right hand are pleasures forevermore.
Is that a David?
The Psalm 86. That Psalm 86 is a prayer of David. I might be wrong. That might be Psalm 73.
Well, I was thinking, you know, Dave, if it is David, you know, leaders have to make decisions all the time. So the more you're in leadership, the more you have influence, the more responsibility you have, the more important decisions that you have to make, and the more you have to lean on God.
Right.
David is a great example of that. Moses is a great example of that. These leaders in the Bible.
Right. Yeah, I was mistaken. That wasn't Psalm 86. That was Psalm 73, verse 28. But as for me, the nearness of God is my good. I have made the Lord God my refuge, that I may tell of all your works. Now, when you think about leaders in the Bible, Moses comes to mind. He led all of God's people out of Egypt and through the wilderness. And, you know, he didn't have to be a super whiz-bang with coming up with strategies. All he had to do was...
listen to God.
Well, and then follow the cloud by day, pillar of fire by night. Where do we go, Lord? Mm-hmm. Just follow the cloud.
Man, yeah.
Wow. Which is, I mean, takes a lot of the pressure off, mm-hmm. You know, as we lead our families, as we lead in the church, that God's going to show us, because he's that kind of a God. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, and Dr. Chris Schroeder is here with me as we talk about this important subject, decision-making and the will of God. In the scroll of the book, the scripture says, it is written of me, speaking, I think, prophetically of the Lord Jesus, I delight to do your will, O my God. But I think that's in the heart of every true believer. We want to do God's will. We want to please him. We want to glorify him. Well, when we come back from the break, we're going to open the phone lines, 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840, decision-making and the will of God. And maybe you have a decision before you, and you would love to get some counsel and insight. Call us and let's talk.
Here are Tim and Riley Wildman for the AFA Foundation.
Riley, what is your title?
The director of AFA Foundation.
One of the best ways you can have income for the rest of your life and know that you will be supporting the ministry of American Family Association is to...
to give a gift to American Family Association and American Family Radio.
Do you also deal with people who want to leave AFA in their wills?
Yes, sir. That's exactly why they call. And that's why we also have another option besides a charitable gift annuity. People sometimes also call and do an outright gift or also leave us in their will.
Now, when anyone calls in and asks to talk to you ladies, will all of them talk in a Southern accent like you do?
Yes, they will.
Call Riley Wildman at the AFA Foundation, 800-326-4543, extension 345, or visit afafoundation.net.
Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Christian parents are on the hook today because they have to identify the threats to the value system that's being taught to their children in public schools, and their job is to protect their kids from these influences.
Tune in for Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson, weekdays at 6:30 a.m. and 9:30 p.m. on American Family Radio.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to our program. God's blessings to you all.
They say actions speak louder than words. Here at the American Family Association, we take that to heart. AFA Action is here to inform and help you get involved in cultural and moral issues. You can also sign up for our AFA Action Alert, which will inform you about these issues every week by email. To sign up and for more information, visit us at afaaction.net.
Why are you still sitting there? If you want change, it starts with you.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
The credit card debt happened when my daughter was born. I was using one credit card account to roll over into another credit card account, and it was snowballing.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813.
When I first called Trinity, the representative understood the need based on the situation. There were great people to work with. From the first phone call that I made, they had me on a track to mitigate the credit card debt.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
Working with Trinity gave me the ability to save thousands of dollars. My name's Doug, and thanks to Trinity, I'm debt-free for keeps.
Call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813. That's 1-800-788-1813.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries. From His Heart is heard every weeknight at 6 p.m. Central Time right here on American Family Radio. Well, I'm talking to Dr. Chris Schroeder. We're talking about decision-making and the will of God. And before we jump back in to our discussion, I just wanted to say this. The Stand is the American Family Association magazine that comes out. This is the January-February 2023 edition. Debbie and I got this the other day. This is one of the best magazines to keep you abreast of what is going on in our nation and in our world. It's filled with very readable articles. You know, nothing is just, you know, 4 or 5 pages. It's very to the point. Man, it is great. And so hats off to AFA. For producing this, I just want to encourage you to go to American Family Association, AFR.net, and get on their mailing list for this, The Stand. It is a great publication, and it will keep you apprised, along with the radio, keep you apprised of things going on in our world. And we need to be discerning, and just like the sons of Issachar, they knew what Israel should do. They understood the times and what Israel should do. You can't understand the times if you're not abreast of the times. And so I would just encourage you there with the Stand magazine. Okay, so Chris, decision making in the will of God, big question. you have a Christian, and there are lots of Christians who make bad decisions. Why do you think that is?
Okay, I think probably a few reasons why people would make bad decisions. Getting bad advice from maybe people that they think are experts, people speaking into their lives who aren't walking with God. So listening to the advice of people that are perceived experts but really aren't.
Secular counselors.
Yeah, secular counselors.
Or even a Christian counselor who's not getting information from the scripture.
Well, the problem is with the secular counseling is that they believe, a lot of times, not all the time, but they believe that the answer is within self. And so if you look within self enough that you find the answer. But as believers, true believers, we know that the answer is not within self, that sin is within self, that the answer is upward, not inward. The answer is with God, with the Lord, and with His Word. Also, you make bad decisions when you have a wrong perception of the circumstances. You know, we get perceptions that aren't always right. They're a perception. They're not a reality. And so if we're making decisions based on false truth, you know, just perceptions right. In our mind, we'll make bad decisions. And then also, I think we make bad decisions when we're following the crowd, when we're just going, the majority is not always right. You know, we're so big on democracy in our nation, but we see that democracy is not always right. You know, people get elected that aren't the godly choice.
Right.
And so sometimes when you make the right decision, you're going against the crowd. But it's so easy to just go with the crowd and go with whatever the majority is saying. And we can make really bad decisions, especially with trends, mm-hmm. you know, and things that are popular. The world is getting more secular and more sinful. So we don't want to make decisions right. like that. A lot of times we're going to be against the grain and we're going to have to make choices that put us in the minority.
Yeah. So Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, you know, blessed are you when men revile you and say all manner of evil against you falsely on account of me. You know, rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. The prophets always stood in the minority.
Yes.
In the great minority. You're Noah. You're Noah and your family, and everybody else is saying you're a nut job.
Right. Jeremiah. I mean, just that's so difficult to be in the minority, to be that voice that's speaking truth and people are going completely the other direction.
Right. So somebody said they put out a meme that Noah was called a conspiracy theorist until it started yeah. to rain.
It would have sounded like a conspiracy for right. sure.
Well, you know, all this stuff about the COVID vaccine and mm-hmm. the people that were trying to sound the alarm and were canceled and called nuts and, you know, voodoo witch doctor, the lady in Houston, oh, she's a nut job. She was telling people, hey, hydroxychloroquine works against this. I'm treating people. They're not dying of COVID. So anytime you know when the government starts to shut down drugs that have been around a long time because people say, hey, this works, hydroxychloroquine and the other one that they said, well, that's a horse drug and you know, it's like that's been around. That was the drug of the decade or something like that just some years ago, but now that's a terrible thing, and if you advocate that, you're an idiot.
Well, data's coming out now,
right?
You know, so people are being they're seeing the truth.
Right. So I wrote this down, Chris, and I got this counsel from a friend of mine years ago, and I think he heard it in a Charles Stanley sermon, but it talked about making a decision. Halt.
Mm-hmm.
H-A-L-T.
Yep.
Don't ever make a decision, a big decision, when mm-hmm. you're hungry, angry,
mm-hmm.
lonely, or tired.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you think about the people that get angry at work and they quit.
Mm-hmm.
And then they wish they hadn't done that because
yeah.
that was a really bad decision. They weren't led by the Lord. They were led by their emotions.
Right.
And or people that get divorced that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you should never. This is a simple principle that we can all apply to our lives, and this is guaranteed truth, that you should never make a decision in the heat of the moment. You make a decision in the heat of the moment, you're susceptible to making a big mistake.
Mm-hmm. And oftentimes those are irreversible. You know, you throw a stink at your job and I quit,
mm-hmm.
and they take you up on that. Okay, I had somebody do that.
No, wait.
Yeah, somebody did that. You know, when I was as during my tenure here. And then they wanted to rescind. It's like, mm-hmm. well, no, you've already resigned. Mm-hmm. You know, I've accepted your resignation.
We've hired the next person already. It's done.
Well, we weren't quite that far. Yeah. I mean, it was just, but still, it was just like, this is a mess. I'm not going to, yeah. you know.
It says something about the person's character. You know, it kind of changes the way you perceive that person.
Right.
I got a good, you know, like acrostics. I've uh-huh. got a good acrostic for making a decision.
Okay.
Pray, P-R-A-Y, pause. So they call it the 5-second rule. You wait. So next time you want to take that next bite, wait 5 seconds. Read God's words daily. So you're making decisions based on God's word. Ask the right people. Put good people in your life. Don't make decisions in isolation. Ask people around you. Put people around you that are wise and ask those people. Yield, where you decide, is it going to be my will or is it going to be God's will? So that's pray.
Right.
P-R-A-Y.
That's good. So the yield, so that's the John 7:17. If you're willing to do God's will, you'll know the teaching, whether it is of God. One of the things that is important for us to remember, God doesn't ever rubber stamp our will.
Mm-hmm.
He guides us in his will. He doesn't care about our will.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he grants us the desires of our heart. That's different than our will. That's, mm-hmm. Lord, I really would like to see, you know, be married, have a family, that kind of thing, and God is a good God. But I've seen this, Chris, where a person has a decision between A and B, and there's nothing necessarily sinful about either one. It's, you know, I'm taking a job in Dallas or in Houston. Which one? And maybe they really want the Dallas job. And so they say to the Lord, Lord, I'm praying about this, but really I'd like to do the Dallas thing. So why don't you rubber stamp that? Now they don't use that,
right?
That verbiage, but that's kind of what's in their heart. If that's in your heart, God's not going to show you, because you're going to do what you want to do anyway.
Right.
If you've already made the decision and you want God to rubber stamp it, well, he doesn't have a rubber stamp.
Well, it's like Jesus said it to the Father. You know, he said, I do not want to do this, but your will be done. You know, so you're always saying, but your will be done.
Right.
So God, you can tell God, this is your desire. You can tell God, this is what I'm really feeling. This is what I'm really excited about. But God, I don't want to get ahead of you. So God, your will be done. I want your will better than I want my will.
Right. That's good. Here's another great principle in Scripture, Colossians 3:15. You're needing to make a decision. It says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful. Now, the word for rule, think about it like an umpire. He rules in baseball. That's a strike. That's a ball. That's fair. That's foul. God says, let my peace do that. And so one of the things is, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're getting ready to move in a direction that God doesn't want us to move, I think one of the things we're going to experience is a lack of peace.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, that's not where I want you to go.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I always temper that, Chris, especially like getting married. I think everybody can get a little cold feet.
Right.
You can get a little nervousness, mm-hmm. because this is such a huge decision. That's different than a lack of peace.
Mm-hmm.
When Debbie and I got married, we both had a peace. This is what God wants us to do, even though we might have had some nervousness in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nervousness is not lack of peace.
Right. So that's a good way to pray. Colossians 3:15, Lord, guide me by your peace. And so I know if I'm getting ready to move in a direction you don't want me to go, that there's going to be a lack of peace. There was a guy, Chris, this was kind of interesting. When I was at Champion Forest, we hired him, the church hired him to be the student pastor. He had an article that just came out in a Baptist publication about how to know the will of God and do the will of God. Well, he had left his church to come to Champion Forest. He was there one day and said, I've made a terrible mistake.
Mm.
And he had unpacked his boxes, but he kept the boxes. And so he packed it all back up and he moved back to the church that he left. And I thought to myself, you know, some of the people were like, well, gosh, that guy didn't know how to make a decision. But he obviously felt a tremendous lack of peace.
Yeah.
And he probably missed some signs along the way that says, don't, you know, road closed, don't go here.
Yeah.
But I thought, you know, hats off to the guy to recognize, hey, I'm not supposed to be here. I got to
Well, what about those decisions that are made and there is a like a regret that sets in after the decision? You know, mm-hmm. you see that a lot of times where people are second guessing after they've already made the decision.
I do that sometimes at the restaurant. I ordered poorly. Then you're kind of stuck.
Yeah. Food envy. You see other people's things or fear of missing out, you know.
Food envy. Yeah, FOMO.
Yeah.
Well, the phone lines are open, 888-589-8840, and we have Frank on the line from Kentucky. Frank, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hi, brothers. I hope you can hear me okay. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yep.
Okay, reason why I'm calling, a lot of people pray, and we don't always, you sound like God doesn't want to answer your prayer right away, but a lot of, remember in the book of Daniel, when Daniel's prayers was delayed, I think it was 15 days?
Yes.
And so a lot of people don't, it's not not telling you anything, it's just, it's not told to the people from pulpits, and people get frustrated because their prayers are not answered right away.
Right.
I think it should be more told to the congregation. And they don't understand because it's not preached at all.
Yeah, that's a good point. The spiritual warfare is taking place in that. And and we need to keep seeking the Lord as Daniel did. He kept seeking the Lord. He had no control over that. Gabriel was opposed by the prince of Persia in the book of Daniel. And so he couldn't control that, but he could continue to pray and ask the Lord, you know, to bring that answer. And God did bring the answer because God's going to have the victory.
Well, in our society today, we have this instant gratification. We want things right away. We're very challenged by being patient or having to be patient about something.
Right.
And so we can get anything we want really quickly. And so we have to wait on God. His timing is different than our timing.
Right. And I think it's really hard to wait. And so the scripture says, Psalm 27, wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Just wait for the Lord. And we want God to, when we pray, we want the answer. That's not necessarily a bad thing. That's mm-hmm. just kind of how we are. And there are times where it's like, okay, Lord, it's the 11th hour.
Mm-hmm.
I need, and Chris, I think every preacher has experienced this where you're looking at a blank piece of paper or a blank computer screen, and it's like, Lord, I got to have a sermon, mm-hmm. and I just don't.
Writer's block, you get preacher's block.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And God understands that, and I've had times early in my ministry where I would get kind of freaked out and get frustrated. I don't understand, God, this isn't coming together, and.
You have so much stored up, though. You're able to just pour out stuff that you have already stored up in your mind.
Yeah, but I didn't when I first started.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah.
So those would be difficult. And I still remember, my sermon preparation class with Dr. Wayne McDill, I got kind of conditioned that that's the way you're supposed to do it. So it wouldn't, if it didn't fit in that box.
Oh, yeah, I got you. That makes sense.
You know, we need to be able to have, we stick to the text, but, you know, people aren't grading you in church. Well, mm-hmm. This point wasn't quite alliterated correctly or whatever, you know, mm-hmm. Adrian Rogers used to say, we're not inventors of sermons, we're presenters of truth,
mm-hmm.
and present truth to people and God will bless. So thank you, Frank, for calling in, and thank you for that question. We are coming up against a break, but Lee from Virginia, Lee, go ahead. You're on Real Truth for Today.
Yes, sir. I was thinking about your reintegration of Gideon. When I was 30 years old, God called me to preach. And it would stay on me so strong for maybe 3 months or 6 months. And then that call would leave maybe for a year. And then it would come back on me and it would stay that way. And I was 55 years old before I finally answered that call.
Mm.
And the reason that I didn't answer it, one reason was because I know if I told people that God called me to preach, that he called me, they would try to make a pastor out of me. And yeah. God never called me, even when I was struggling.
Hey, Lee, hold on. We got to take a break, but don't go away. We'll pick up when we get back. You're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. Don't go away.
Dear 1 million moms, I've always thought that maybe your organization was making a mountain out of a molehill. But today, I cannot believe what I just saw on my TV.
Concerned about the trash flowing into your home through today's media that simply will not censor itself? Make your voice heard. If you see trash in the media, tell us. Use the Submit Trash button at 1millionmoms.com. That's 1millionmoms.com. And thanks.
What does the American Family Association stand for? AFA believes that all men and women, whether in private or public, should be free to exercise their faith without hindrance from the government. These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
Here's Steve Tiber, president of 8 Days of Hope.
The fastest growing crime in America and across the world is sex trafficking. We're talking about millions of lives, even children. Did you know the average age of a child who's trafficked in America is 12 years old? 8 Days of Hope has decided to be a part of the solution with the body of Christ around the country. It's amazing to think that there's 13,000 animal shelters in our country, and that's a good thing, but there's less than 1,000 safe places for people who've been rescued from sex trafficking to go to. I know it's not a fun subject to talk about, but God has called the church to take its blinders off and end this human tragedy. At 8 Days of Hope, we're going to partner with an existing ministry, and for 14 days, we'll bring skilled volunteer professionals to renovate, rebuild, or remodel facility so that more can be rescued and receive the emotional, physical, and spiritual help they need. For more information on how you can get involved with our Safe House construction ministry, please email us at safehouse@8daysofhope.com or go to our website, 8daysofhope.com.
In this season of giving, you can be the answer to their prayer today. Hey, it's Michael Woolworth with Bible League International, and since Labor Day, we've been working toward a goal of putting God's Word into the hands and hearts of 16,000 Bibleist believers around the world. Here's a few that are praying for a Bible. Ahmed is a former Muslim beaten by extremists when he came to faith in Christ. He's praying for a Bible. Miriam is a widowed mother of three in Mozambique, Africa. Very sadly, her husband was killed by the Boko Haram regime, but she's praying for a Bible. Carla was a follower of pagan practices in Venezuela. He's praying for a Bible now as a Christ follower. And then Washi and her husband are livestock farmers in China. They want to raise their children to know and love Jesus. They're praying for a Bible. Listen, to date, you've put 10,000 Bibles into the hands of Bibleist believers. We'd love to see another 6,000 by the end of the year. So please, at $5 a Bible, would you make your most generous gift by calling 800-YES-WORD, 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 or give at sendbiblesnow.com.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve, along with my partner at First Baptist Texarkana, Dr. Chris Schroeder. And we're talking about decision-making and the will of God. The phone lines are open, 888-589-8840. And right before the break, we were talking to Lee about the call that God put on his heart to preach. And so, Lee, you were saying that you didn't want to yield to the call because you didn't want to be a pastor. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. I know that people would try to make me a pastor, and I know God called me to be a helper, to help pastors when they needed, when they wanted a weekend off, when they were sick. And I remember driving down the road hundreds of times and saying, God, if you want me to preach, let that tree fall over right now on the side of the hill. And I got to thinking years after that, when I got a little smarter, I would have been just like Gideon. If that tree had fell over, I would have said, well, that was a fluke of nature. Let this other tree fall over. You know, and yeah. I was 55 years old, and one day I didn't hear an audible voice, and I'm sure God has spoke to your heart many a times. And God spoke to my heart, and he said, you are running out of time. And this world is running out of time. And if you don't do now what I called you to do 25 years ago, you'll never do it. Mm. And I did answer that call. And there has never been a time that I when I like would help somebody. The first person I helped was a guy that answered his call the Sunday that I know God was calling me. I've been, oh, he's calling him, not me, but he was calling both of us.
Oh, wow.
I gripped the pew to keep from going up, and he was the first person I helped for 4 months. And every time that I have helped somebody, as soon as that time is over that they don't need help, God immediately opens another church that needs help, and somebody will come to me and say, we're looking for somebody, or would you be interested? And, you know, I got to looking back after that. My daddy started preaching when he was 55 years old.
Mm.
And, you know, it's like God repeated my daddy's history in me. And I've seen that a lot of times. Like maybe, I don't know if you have a son, but a lot of times you may have two or three boys, and one of them God will call to be a pastor like you.
Mm. Yeah, I don't have any sons, but I have a grandson and another grandson on the way that's coming to this world in February. And so we're excited about that. But God bless you, Lee, and thank you for calling in today and sharing that. And I'm blessed to know that that when the Lord, you know, made it clear to you that you did, even at 55, because some people would say, well, I've missed the window for that, I'm too old or whatever, but you didn't do that. And so God was able to use you and no doubt still using you. So thank you for calling in, and thank you for sharing your story with us. Well, we have Iris on the line from Texas. Iris, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
I appreciate your show so much, and this is an excellent time in the season when people are so seeking the will of God. And I was reminded of a plaque that I received many years ago when I was in a transition period in the ministry I was working for, was beginning to move to another state. And I received this plaque that said, "The will of God will not lead you where the grace of God will not keep you." And
right.
That has held me steadfast, and it is so true. And also, that it also says in Ecclesiastes, that it is the Lord who changes the times and the seasons. In the natural, that's true, but it's also true in our spiritual lives, that it's God who changes our seasons. But usually, in my heart, he leaves impressions that he's preparing me for change.
Mm-hmm.
What is your comment?
Chris?
Well, I mean, that's so cool. That I think that's so true. I'm thinking about that for my own life, how when you make a decision, and God's grace goes with you in that decision. And so you can be comforted that when you make the right decision, that his grace is going to go with you. He doesn't ever, you know, Hebrews, he never leaves you or forsakes you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like you make the decision and then you're on your own. His grace continues to follow you. Love that.
Right. And, you know, here's the thing, too. If you do make a decision, maybe it's focused on money, or maybe it's an emotional decision, you were angry and you'd quit your job or whatever, God never says, well, you're done.
Yeah,
you know, you made
yeah.
your bed, now sleep in it. God is gracious. He's good. He's forgiving. You know, the prodigal son was able to come back and mm-hmm. leave the pigsty and come back and be restored in his relationship with the Father and get back in on the will of God for his life. And so I think for us, just knowing that, not that we're going to just say, well, I can do whatever I want. You don't want to do that. The prodigal paid for his disobedience. Jonah paid big time for his disobedience to reject the will of God and go his own way. So you don't want to do that, but you just know, as even with Jonah, I can get my heart right with God. And, you know, our last caller, hey, I was resisting the call to preach. And then when I finally said yes, God used me.
Well, I always tell people that God doesn't really have a plan B. You know, he only has plan A, and he's never caught off guard by our decisions, and we make bad decisions, but he's not caught off guard, and now we're far down the road and we're on to plan Z. You know, in recovery, a lot of times people think, well, I've messed up so many times that he's done with me.
Right.
There's no place where he's done with you. You can always turn back, just like the prodigal, to the place of, you know, eating with the pigs. You can always turn back to him. It's never too late.
Right. Now, you know, when we go the wrong direction, just like with Jonah, there's a price.
There's consequences.
Yeah, there are consequences.
Ramifications.
Yeah. So we don't want to do that. But you never get to the place where the Lord says, I wash my hands of you.
Well, sometimes if you make the bad choice and you're down a bad path, people want to turn back and get right back on the right road right away. It's going to take some steps to get back on the right path.
Yeah. Iris, is that helpful?
Yes, it was. And may I make one further quick comment?
Sure.
I grew up in the Jewish faith. I've been a Jewish believer for over 40 years. And my mother used to quote this in Yiddish, and it was, people plan and God laughs.
Yeah.
And it's so true of the Proverbs, and Proverbs 16 refers to that a lot. And I often think of that and laugh.
Yeah. Well, praise the Lord that from the Jewish background, you came to know Christ as Savior and Lord. And there are not a lot of people like you, Iris. We love the Jewish people, and we want to see them come to Christ. And so what city do you live in Texas?
I live in Rockwall, Texas, and I'm a part of a large minute of Lakeshore Church, which is an AG church, but much more non-denominational in zeal. Serving as a widow, I am involved in widow's ministry and in a lot of intercessory prayer, and I'm so thankful for the life that God has given me. And I've led many of my Jewish brothers and sisters to Christ, and also many family members, because I was married to a Gentile for 49 years who came to Christ for 36 years.
Wow. That's so cool.
Praise the Lord. That's awesome. Well, if you ever make it to Texarkana, we'd love to have you worship with us, and we'd love to meet you.
Well, I'd love to. I just came through Texarkana the other day on the way back from my trip to Michigan to see my family up there. But you have a wonderful ministry. God bless you and your staff for all that you do to serve so many others in so many ways. Thank you.
Thank you very much. God bless you. All right. We have Lily from Kansas on the line. Lily, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you, and thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
How does one overcome the, paralysis of analysis or analysis of paralysis?
Yes.
When most major decisions that you thought you were making prayerfully ends up disastrously. So how do you now break that fear to move forward?
Okay. Lily, can you give us a little more information? This is coming from your life, right?
Yes.
Okay. Can you give us the particulars?
Like marriage, moving, what to do with children, you know, just major league decisions.
Right.
And you think, oh, this is the right way to go. I've prayed about it, and at a younger age fasted and sought counsel, but then, you know, the end result, it's not what you were anticipating.
Yeah. Chris?
Well, I mean, the past, the things that were done in the past, that doesn't mean that that's automatically going to happen in the future. So it'd be good to go back and learn from the past and learn about the decisions that you feel like were the wrong decisions that were made and had a negative effect on your life. So you go back and you do an inventory of those decisions and look at where you were when you made those decisions, why you made those decisions, and why they turned out not good. So do a little bit of inventory of those decisions, but don't carry the thought, the automatic negative thought, that what happened in the past is guaranteed to happen in the future. God is the God of fresh starts, new opportunity, new chances. And so you might have to make the decisions differently because there might be something that was causing those decisions to be bad decisions. But don't automatically think because it was bad in the past means it's going to be the same in the future.
Lily, I was thinking too, a scripture verse in 1 Samuel chapter 12, where Samuel addresses the people, and you remember the story was they rejected God as king, and they wanted to have a physical king, so he gave them Saul, who was a bust of a king. But Samuel says, "You have done all this evil, but don't fear. Do not turn aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. You must not turn aside, for then you would go after futile things which cannot profit or deliver because they are futile. For the Lord will not abandon his people on account of his great name, because the Lord has been pleased to make you a people for himself. That's 1 Samuel chapter 12, verses 20 through 22. So I think that's, you know, that's encouragement, because what they did was, you talk about a bad decision.
Disastrous.
That was a sinful, but we shall have a king over us. Well, you know, Samuel grieved, and God said, hey, they hadn't rejected you from being their king. They rejected me. I was their king. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you think this hurts you. What do you think it does to me? But even in the midst of all that, you've done all this evil, but the Lord will not abandon you. Mm-hmm. And so God can work those Romans. If Romans 8:28 weren't
Romans
in the book,
8:28, that's a good
we'd
one.
Be hurting, because we know that even in bad decisions, sinful decisions, God takes all things, he works them together for good through the power of the cross and the empty tomb for our good and for his glory.
And he's faithful to completion. So he's brought you to a certain point, Philippians 1:6, he's faithful to complete what he started in your life.
Right. So is that, Lily, is that helpful?
Very helpful, very encouraging. Thank you.
Okay, so I'm going to take a guess. You're from Nigeria?
Yes.
Yes, I love that.
I was. I'm American.
Yeah. How long did you live in Nigeria?
Until early 20s.
Early 20s. I love your accent.
Thank you. Love yours.
I love yours.
Well, God bless you, my sister, and be encouraged. Romans 15:13 is a great life verse. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so one of my favorite verses in the Old Testament is Jonah 3:1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. And God is a God of second chances, third chances, fourth chances, 500th chances. He never says, I'm done with you. And he can take all those bad decisions and the bad turns that we make in life, and he can use those for good, because he is able to do that, and we can trust him no matter what. So God bless you, and thank you for listening to the program. Thank you for calling in today. All right, Chris, so let's just kind of end up with this. For the people that agonize over, okay, I think I made a bad decision. What do I do now? How do I fix this? What, you know, especially in marriage, I married the wrong person. Mm-hmm. That can happen, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
So what do you tell them?
Okay, I mean, I know it sounds simple, and I know it's not simple, but you can't change the past. The decisions have been made. You cannot change the past. You can only live in the present, focusing towards the future. But get your focus off of yourself and the decisions that you have made, and put your focus on to the Lord. Be honest with him. He knows where your heart is. He knows what you're feeling. Mm-hmm. Put your focus on to him and his word and his truths, and not on yourself. You get buried when you start focusing on yourself and start, you know, just analyzing yourself to death, and regret will just destroy you. Mm-hmm. So don't live in the past. Move forward. Live in the future. God's doing a new thing. Forget the former things. He's doing a new thing.
Right. Well, you've been listening today to Real Truth for Today on American Family Radio, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. It is a joy to always welcome Dr. Chris Schroeder to the microphone with me. We've been talking about decision making and the will of God, and this might be a program that you want to share with somebody else, somebody that you know is making big decisions right now, big life changing decisions. You can always go to afr.net, and all the podcasts are there, the programs that you can listen to again and share them with others, and that God can use you to be a real blessing to those who are facing some big decisions. I look forward to being with you again on Monday as we speak the truth in love, go out, shine and share, and let God use you. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.